And now to another difficult story. The remains of 11 women were discovered last week at the Cleveland, Ohio home of convicted sex offender Anthony Sowell. Police entered his home after an arrest warrant was issued for the alleged attempted rape of a woman in September. Since the arrest, additional women have come forward claiming Sowell raped or tried to rape them. But one question that continues to nag is how so many murders could occur without anyone noticing 11 women had disappeared. City Councilmember Zach Reed of Cleveland's 3rd Ward, which includes Sowell's neighborhood, is one of the people asking that question. Reed thinks the way former offenders are tracked needs to be overhauled. Reed joins us now in our studio in Washington, D.C. He's joined by Bill Rice, who's been covering the story as an associate editor at member station WCPN in Cleveland. Thank you both for being here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me also.
Bill, could you start us off by telling you what's the latest?
Well, the latest is that they've identified 7 of the victims, the last 3 over the weekend. So there are now 7 people who have been identified out of 11 sets of remains that have been discovered at Sowell's home. And the 7 that have been identified are people who resided right around the general vicinity of Sowell's residence.
So Councilman, what about that? How is it possible that so many people could be missing and nobody noticed? Did anybody notice? Were people calling the police to complain?
Because when you look at the aspect that one characteristic that seems to be a continual fiber in this thing is that they're all African American. They're all female. They're all addicted, and the mostly all of them are not don't have very good means. And when you combine the addiction, you know, people want to continue to talk about race, but their race didn't lure them into that house. Their addiction did. And when you look at the way that we treat individuals who are addicted, and especially poor individuals that are addicted, they're throwaways to our society. You know, we're in our families, we don't like the aspect that they come around because we know they steal. We know that they do things that we don't like. When they go missing sometimes for 3 or 4 days because they're out looking for their addiction to.
Can I just check that with Bill Rice? Bill Rice, is that your understanding? From my reading of some of the news accounts, one of the family members of one of the missing victim says that her sister was an addict, but that was 10 years ago, and that she was no longer. She had been clean for some time. So does that comport with your understanding of who the victims are so far?
You know, I don't know about the details of that particular person. My understanding was just what Councilman Reed relayed to you, was that all of these women were drug addicted or had some kind of substance abuse problem, and were really easy targets for the accused victimizer, Anthony Sowell.
So did residents complain, Councilman, to you about that, about the residents? Did neighbors complain about the residents at all? One of the things that's also come through in news reports is that apparently there was a really palpable stench around that property. Did anybody ever complain about
it? I know in 2007 I received a phone call from one of my residents that said, Councilman, I quote, there's a odor in the neighborhood, and it smells like a dead person. Not the rotten meat from the sausage factory across the street, not a dead animal, a dead person. And that was in 2007. I was just there last week before this whole incident blew up, and I was talking to the store merchant. And when I looked over, I said, man, I said, Ray has got to fix that, because it's called Ray's Sausage. I said, Ray's got to fix that sidewalk. That sidewalk has been like that for 2 years. And the gentleman in the store said to me, he said, Councilman, you've got to come out here in the morning. This smell is so bad. So and we talk about it as just being a smell. But understand, it wasn't just a smell. And this is why I say that I'm calling for this thorough, independent evaluation of this entire system. It wasn't just a smell. It was the smell of rotten, decaying, decomposing, dead people.
Did you ever convey that complaint to anybody?
To the health department. As soon as we got the call in 2007, we immediately called the health department and explained to the health department the phone call that we received. Ray, it's constantly when I talk to Ray. I went up to him on election night. As you know, I just got elected.
To your third term.
And I went up to him and I said, Ray, I'm sorry. And before I can get my words out, he knew exactly what I was apologizing for, because he knows I and the public have been on him to fix this stench, but it was not him. He spent $10,000 on trying to fix this smell.
If I just, as a point of clarification, we call the Cleveland Health Department. We spoke with its director, Matt Carroll. He says the department doesn't have a record that your office made a complaint about the, as you describe, that there was a specific smell of a decomposing body. And he says that previous complaints about the area had been checked out, but nothing was found. I just feel I need to convey that to you.
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't think I've had my assistant for a number of years. I don't think that she could. I mean, she got the right address. She's got the right name. When I went up to the door to speak to the lady remembered that she spoke to me. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can either go back and look at and try to evaluate how we got 11 dead bodies into that property, or we can circle the wagons and we can say that it wasn't us and that we did this and we did. Ray didn't spend $10,000 on trying to fix his dismal for nothing.
Well, let's go back, and I'd like to ask each of you, Bell and Councilman Reed, what is being discussed now going forward? Are there any sort of lines of inquiry opening up to say what could be done differently or what should be done differently going forward? So, Bill, I'll start with you, and then Council,
well,
if you'll pick it up.
I think the matter of the smell, that's going to be debated for a long time. Matt Carroll, the public health director, was on our air last week on our sister television station, and he said that the health department did receive a call about odors, but that was concerning an area nearly a mile away from the residents that we're talking about. Sure, we've heard the odor discussed since this broke, and nobody disputes that people in the general neighborhood smelled something foul. Now, whether that could be confused with, you know, rotting byproducts of sausage making or a dead animal versus a dead person, I'm not sure. That's going to be debated for quite a while. But I think what's being debated now the most is why these people disappeared, why missing persons reports were not filed on many of them. In a very timely fashion, and in some cases not at all, and why the ones that were filed weren't followed up after it became evident that they were not coming back, mm-hmm. and concerned family members obviously would say, well, gee, this person has been gone for 2 months now or 3 months. Where are they?
Councilman, final thought from you, and I just want to, as a point of clarification, at least two of their victims were never reported missing. There are no missing persons reports filed on at least two persons. So, Councilman,
what about going forward? The bottom line is the system's broken. I mean, let's look at a system that says, okay, when you get out of prison, you're classified one way, which is the least restrictive when we talk about sexual offenders. Then last year, you got reclassified again to the highest tier. Now, when you got out of prison, notifications were sent 1,000 feet from that house. But when you were reclassified to the highest one that said that you may do this again, the law says they don't have to send them back out because he or she did not move. Now, don't you think if I went from the lowest to the highest that the law should say we should send those notices out again? And this is what I'm saying. I mean, the system is broken, and therefore it's not a time to circle wagons, not a time to point fingers. It's time to look at and evaluate this system that's clearly broken.
Very, very, very briefly, Councilman, how are people in the community responding to all this?
Oh, they're mad. They're mad as hell. They're mad for a number of reasons, and they have every reason in the world. They're sad for a number of reasons, and they have a reason in the world. And we're going to get this thorough investigation going so that we can just get something resolved.
Zach Reed is a councilman representing Cleveland's 3rd Ward. He was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios, where he's on a personal trip. Bill Rice is the associate editor at member station WCPN in Cleveland. He joined us from his station. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Happy to do it.